First Samuel chapter 2, looking at verses 12 through 17, but we're going to read up to verse 36. This is the reading of God's word. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord and the custom of the priests with the people. When any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, or that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. They did this in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." If the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as you desire," then he would say, "No, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the man despised the offering of the Lord. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from ear to ear when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and said, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord." And they went to their own home. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters, and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they lay with the woman who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. He said to them, "Why do you do such things, the evil things that I hear from all these people? No, my sons, for the report is not good which I hear the Lord's people circulating. If one man sins against another, God will mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?" But they would not listen to the voice of their father, for the Lord desired to put them to death. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings of the sons of Israel? Why do you kick at my sacrifice and at my offering which I have commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days are coming when I will break your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. You will see the distress of my dwelling in spite of all the good that I do for Israel, and an old man will not be in your house forever. Yet I will not cut off every man of yours from my altar, so that your eyes will fail from weeping and your soul grieve, and all the increase of your house will die in the prime of life. This will be the sign to you, which will come concerning your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. On the same day, both of them will die. But I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my soul, and I will build him an enduring house, and he will walk before my anointed always. Everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver or a loaf of bread and say, please assign me to one of the priest's offices so that I may eat a piece of bread. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that you would grant us an ear to hear your word. Even non-Christians can come here and hear, but that is not truly hearing. It is only by your grace, it is only by your Spirit that we are able to hear your voice through your word. And we pray that they will truly hear your voice through your word. And the word that create the whole universe, that powerful word, will recreate us more and more in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may be more and more like him. And Father, we pray that by your grace, the word will be preached correctly and that your word will be understood and believed by your people and obeyed by your people to bring glory and honor to you. Receive all the glory, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our passage, we meet the priests at the time, Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And here we are reminded of what the priests represent. They represent the people of God to God. In Exodus 28, we read about the priestly garments that these priests were to wear, the ephod and the breastplates, and among other things. And we learn that there, the names of the 12 tribes were written on them as the high priest wear these things, approach God, thus representing the priest, high priest will represent the people of God. But there is another way of looking at the functions of the priests. They also represent God to the people. They do this by proclaiming the word of God to the people, and they bless the people of God. Numbers 6, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, Aaron and his sons, meaning priests, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you, and Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. So here, God says he will bless, but he will use priests in this blessing his people. Thus, the priest must witness the reality of God being near to his people and also the people being near to God. The priest represents people to God, and priests represent God to his people. So he is to serve God and also serve the people. But when we read our passage for today, we do not see anything like that in Hophni and Phinehas. The Bible starts out by saying that they are worthless men. And this is quite interesting because Eli, their father, he considered Hannah the same way. If you remember in chapter 1, verse 16, Hannah says to Eli, "Do not consider me as a worthless woman." The same word. Bible says, God says that his sons are worthless men. And yet Eli would not see that. But Eli sees Hannah and thinks that she is a worthless woman. And I thought that was very interesting. And this worthless, word worthless, literally means sons of Belial. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? So there, sons of Belial, or Belial, it just simply means sons of Satan. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says to these Jews, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So we're introduced to these two sons of Eli. And the first thing that we learn is that they are sons of Satan. They do not know the Lord. And yet, they are the priests in God's temple. Verses 13 and 14, these two did not know the Lord and the custom of the priests with the people. When any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Because they do not know the Lord, they also do not know the word of God. Or shall we say that they, even though they might know the word of God, they simply don't care what the word of God says. Let us go to Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. Verses 28 through 34. Let me read that to you. Leviticus 7:28. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, He who offers the sacrifice of his peace offerings to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands are to bring offerings by fire to the Lord. He shall bring the fat with the breast, and the breast may be presented as a wave offering before the Lord. The priest shall offer up the fat in smoke on the altar, but the breast shall belong to Aaron and his sons. You shall give the right thigh to the priest as a contribution from the sacrifices of your peace offerings. The one among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offerings and the fat, the right thigh shall be his as his portion. For I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel from the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. Now obviously from this, the sins of Hophni and Phinehas is not that they took some portions of offerings for themselves. God allows priests to have certain portions. Here in Leviticus chapter 7, breast and right thigh will be theirs. In Exodus chapter 29, verses 27 and 29, there we read the same thing, breast and thigh. But let us go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 3. Now this shall be the priest's due from the people. From those who offer a sacrifice, either an ox or a sheep, of which they shall give to the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the stomach. So here, not only breast and right thigh, but the shoulder, the two cheeks and stomach will be given to the priest for them to have. So it's clearly the sin of Hophni and Phinehas is not that they take some of these portions for themselves, but what kind of portions did they take for themselves? Whatever the fork brought up, they will bring this fork, big fork, and they will, you know, in the pot, they will stick it, and whatever the fork brought up, they took. They simply do not care what God has commanded them. And that was their sin. And verses 15 and 16 says this, Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw. If the man said to him, They must surely burn the fat first, and then take as much as you desire, then he would say, No. But you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. So these two wanted the meat before burning up the fat. Now let us go to Leviticus chapter 3. Leviticus chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 3. From the sacrifice of the peace offerings, he shall present an offering by fire to the Lord, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them, which is on the loins, and the robe of the liver, which he shall remove with the kidneys. Then Aaron's son shall offer it up in smoke on the altar on the burnt offering, which is on the wood, which is on the fire. It is an offering by fire of a soothing aroma to the Lord. So priests were commanded to burn the fat, because that will be soothing aroma to the Lord. And if you go down to verse 16, this is what we read. The priest shall offer them up in smoke on the altar as food, an offering by fire for a soothing aroma. And it says, all fat is the Lord's. Again, you understand the sins of the sons of Eli. They take what belongs to God. All fat should be given to God. He declared that all fat is mine. And yet, these two wanted the meat before the fat is burned. They took what belongs to God. We are reminded of Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Paul says, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, enemy of the cross. That is the worst thing that we could think of. And who are these enemy of the cross? Next verse says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Their God is their appetite. And that they set their minds on earthly things. These are the enemy of the cross. And these two sons of Eli fits that description. Their ministry is for themselves. Their ministry is for their worldly profits. As a priest, they must serve God and his people, but they serve themselves and forces others to do the same. Ministry of tyrants. Luke chapter 22. Let us go there and see what Jesus says there. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read from verse 24. This is right after Lord's Supper. And I want you to have that understanding. The background is that, you know, Lord's Supper has happened, the Last Supper. Then this happens. 24. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. You know, here's Jesus giving himself up for them, you know, dying for them. And they fight who is the greatest. Verse 25, and Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Isn't that interesting? Here's Jesus who are serving them. In front of that Jesus, they're fighting, arguing about who is greatest. These disciples have the same mindset at this time. Same mindset of these two sons of Eli. Kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who have authority over them are called benefactors. The two sons of Eli, they forced other people to give them what belongs to God. Jesus came as the one who serves. The true ministers of God are the people who serve. Not only serve God, but serve His people. Jesus washed His disciples' feet to show us how to serve one another. Not that we are to wash other people's feet, but what does that act symbolize? And Jesus told them to feed my lambs, tend my sheep. But Hophni and Phinehas, they act like they are gods, and they do as their sinful hearts desire, and do everything for their worldly gains. They're arrogant, selfish, self-indulgent, self-boasting, self-congratulatory, and self-satisfaction. And the sad thing is that we do meet this kind of ministers even today. It's all about themselves. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. Her, Israel, her leaders pronounce judgment for a bribe. Her priests instruct for a price. And her prophets divine for money. So their kings, their priests, and their prophets, they do whatever they do for money. Yet they lean on the Lord, saying, is it not the Lord in our midst? Calamity will not come upon us. They act like that God is with them. And yet, the fact is that God never called them to do any of these things. They only know money. They only know power of this world. And they try to keep their ministry just to keep their worldly gains. Oh, they fight hard for their ministry to keep it. Because to keep their ministry means keeping, to continue to receive the worldly benefits they get. And if you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17, thus the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord, for the man despised the offering of the Lord. And here the word men does not have to refer to Hophni and Phinehas. The word man could refer to the men who bring the sacrifices to God. So not only Hophni and Phinehas, but even those people who bring these offerings to the Lord, they despise the offering of the Lord. As they see how what they bring just fill the stomachs of Hophni and Phinehas, how could they not despise the offering of the Lord and sin with them? If the ministers do not follow the word of God, then usually the people also will not follow the word of God. Who will want to bring more offerings when doing so just make the pastor more rich? Who will want to come and truly worship God when coming to church means just to be included in the number that the church boasts about? But many people, they will do that anyway because they too sin with the minister and they too seek the worldly gain. And we see this happening a lot these days. This is Jesus' church. It is your responsibility that this church remains faithful to the word. Of course, the session has given this task. But when session fails, you cannot join in their sin. You have to make sure that this church remains faithful to the word. The leaders, if they do not follow the word, then the whole church will not follow the word. We see this in 1 Corinthians 11. The Lord's Supper is not administered according to the word of God. Thus, it ends up just rich people filling their stomachs. The minister and the people together sin. And this is the usual result when the ministers are not true ministers of God. But the true ministers of God thinks like Paul. Romans 15. Verse 16 says, "To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." True ministers will not make God's people sin. That will be the last thing they want them to do. But when they do not follow the word, and they force you to do whatever they're doing, then they're forcing you to sin. It is not enough that you give all you have in serving God. It is not enough that you are sincere. Yes, you must give all you have, and you must be sincere, but they are not enough. You must do everything according to what God has commanded. You must do everything according to the word. Otherwise, we all sin. And it really doesn't matter how sincere you are in serving God. If you do not follow the word, you are sinning. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 2, "For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. Yes, these Jews have zeal for God. You know, it's so hard to even imitate Pharisees, how they live. They will never miss, you know, Bible study in today's terms. They will always do fasting and they will pray so much. Never miss, you know, giving tithes. You know how hard it is to just imitate a Pharisee, how he lives? Yes, they have zeal for God, but they do not follow the word. And it's still sin. I see this in many of Asian, you know, churches, especially Korean churches. They get up at 4 in the morning to gather for early worship, early you know, prayer meetings. They do that every single day. There's so much zeal for God, and yet they never do anything according to the word. They don't care what the Bible says. If our church does anything not according to his word, then you must bring that to the session's attention. You cannot participate in sinning together. Oh yeah, you have to be a good person, right? So you will sit out when the whole church is going against the word of God, because you don't want to fight. Well, then you participate in that same sin. You cannot let the church of God sin. And don't ever be the cause of church's sin. Remember, brothers and sisters, this is a church of Jesus Christ, not anybody else's. This is not my church, Pastor Kim's church, or this is not what whoever elder or deacon or anybody. If it's my church, then of course we're going to do my ways. But if it's Jesus' church, we have to do what Jesus wants. And he told us what he wants in this book. We have to follow this. Otherwise, we're just proving that we're not Church of Christ. Always remember that. So I challenge you to challenge me and the leaders of this church. If you see anything that we do that is not according to the word, if you hear anything I say or leaders say that is not according to the word, don't just be silent. We're talking about honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the end, it's not about me, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Especially you young people. I want you to really listen. You are also a member of this church, and you are a son of God. And you cannot let the church of Jesus Christ do anything or say anything contrary to the Bible. Don't be intimidated. Don't be scared. Come to the session meeting and tell us. How come you guys are doing this way? Bible says otherwise, but you, why you are doing that way? Do not just sit there and let the Church of Christ sin. And if it is truly a church that belongs to Christ, then they will listen to the word. And you do your best, go to session, and if they don't listen, then go to the presbytery, and they don't listen, then go to the general assembly, and if they don't listen, then you find another church. Find another church that will follow the Bible. Christ in heaven is not God. And you are to serve God. And you are to obey Him. You know, hurting my feeling is okay. Hurting anybody's feeling is okay if what you're doing is to be faithful to the word. To be faithful to God. Do not let anybody do whatever they want contrary to the word in God's church. Bible even says when your brother sins, you have to go to that person and you have to let him know that he is sinning. It's not Christian way just sit there and do nothing. And I know that is very, very hard. But if we just sit there and do nothing, then our church will look like Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. That's how it's going to be. Yes, we will never be perfect. Hophni and Phinehas and Eli and all other ministers will fail. You and I, we need a perfect priest. We need a perfect minister. And in him, that perfect minister, we, his people, will also be perfect. And I'm here to tell you the good news, the gospel. We have such perfect minister, the perfect priest. He is Jesus Christ. He did not come to be served, but to serve. He witnessed perfectly how God is near his people and how his people are near God. He himself is God meeting man. He is God-man. He witnessed perfectly how God serves his people and how his people serve God. He completely and perfectly fulfilled the office of priest and that for us. He, as the perfect priest, gave himself as the perfect once and for all sacrifice to God for our sins, and he blessed us with the eternal perfect blessings of God. And remember that you and I are also God's priests in the true priest of God, Jesus Christ. You and I, we are royal priesthood. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. As God's priests, we offer ourselves and everything we have to God. As God's priests, we serve God's people and pray for them. We do not despise the worship of God and the worshipers of God. Not to live like this, as God's priest, is to live the same life that Hophni and Phinehas lived. They were the priests of God. And I'm here to tell you that you are priests of God. And you need to examine your life. Not just reading about Hophni and Phinehas and say, how can they do this? How can they take what belongs to God? How can they not follow the word of God? But you must remember that you are also God's priest. How can you do the same? Taking something that belongs to God. How can we live as selfish, self-indulgence? See how living such a life, isn't that interesting? When we read the story of Hophni and Phinehas, we're so quick to judge. And it's rightly so. You are rightly judging them because they're just ridiculous as a priest of God. But brothers and sisters, we cannot do the same. We cannot live like them. Because it is wrong. It is sin. God gave everything to us, and we must do the same. The perfect priest gave himself for us, and as his priest, we must do the same. We must understand and believe the true Christian life. It is to live the very life of Christ, life of priest. We do not live for the worldly gain. And it is never about us. It is all about God and His glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are not that important. You think you and all the things happen in your life, you think they are too important. No, God is important. His glory is important. We must repent of our sins. And many times we have to admit we do live like Hophni and Phinehas. But let us stop that. Let us look to our perfect priest, Jesus Christ. Let us love more and more the true priest who has fulfilled the office of the priest for us. And let us believe that his priestly life has become our life. And let us live according to that faith. Yes, even though we fail, to God, in Christ, you are received as perfect priests of God. Now, if you truly believe that, then you will do your best to witness that reality by living by faith. We give all the glory to God. Look at our lives. As a priest of God, what kind of lives do we live? And yet, in Christ, God received us as a perfect priest of God. And as you understand this gospel, you fill with thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving, that thankfulness, will cause you to imitate Him. That you want to live like Him. You want to be like Him. Even as we worship God right now, brothers and sisters in Christ, We are witnessing how in Jesus Christ we have become God's priest. You and I, as a God's priest, we have come to the true Holy of Holies. And as we worship God and praise Him, we are serving and worshiping our God in the Holy of Holies. This worship is your life as a priest of God. And I want you to have that realization even as you sit there. Even as you hear the Word of God, even as you praise, even as you bring offerings to Him, you are serving God as His priests. This is your life. But you being God's priest does not end as soon as you go out that door. You are His priest now and forever. This is who we are. And we must live imitating the perfect priest who fulfilled that office of priest perfectly for us. It is just glorious life that God has given to us, brothers and sisters. With joy, let us serve God and serve one another as the priests of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We give You all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, when we truly look at our lives, there's not much difference between our lives and the life of Hophni and Phinehas. But Father, there is difference. You have saved us, and You have made us Your people, a nation of priests, holy nation. Priests of God. So, Father, we have this certainty, confidence, that one day, when Jesus returns, they will be able to live as perfect priests of God in that glorious temple of God, heaven. But Father, we thank You that that life has already begun in our lives, in Your church. So Father, we pray that by Your grace, we will be able to bring glory and honor to You as we live this glorious life of priests in Jesus Christ. Let us serve You and serve one another, so that we may participate in the life of true priest, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.